There's a secular song, and I actually very much like it myself. Randy, being that he knows every lyric of every song of every ever written down, I actually had to print out the actual lyrics so I wouldn't be called out. But this particular lyric touches on the concept that the religious world has pushed forward. And that concept is God's love is unconditional. Well, if you do a search, yeah, we have the computer. I found it. But it was in the write-up of the publisher, not in the scripture. This is an erroneous concept. This concept that God's love is unconditional, well, everybody knows it's true. We'll find it in the scriptures. Find it in the scriptures. I challenge you. Yet Kansas, a well-known music band, has have I cranked that music up and I've sung right along with it. And after singing it a few times, and I very much like it, that song is "Carry On, My Wayward Son." Carry on. Here's the beginning and the end of it. And here's the concept that song pushes forward. Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. And the very end of the song also continues. And that's the chorus. So it'll repeat that many times. The very end and bridge, the chorus says, "Carry on, you always remember. Carry on, nothing equals the splendor." It's referring to heaven. Now your life's no longer empty, but surely heaven waits for you. Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't cry. Don't cry no more. That's a concept that we have been pushed and pushed and pushed. Hey, we're going to get to heaven. He loves me. He loves everybody. That he does. Yes, that's true. That he does. He does love everybody. But it is not unconditional. This love, you know, we think of a mother and child relationship. Well, even then you have some mothers that don't care for the children and some children who don't care for their parents. But, of course, we have this concept that love will never die and that it's unconditional. I know my son, he killed 500 people, but he's still a good person. Okay, prove it. It is not unconditional. However, we tend, I think where that concept came in, well, it's a nice concept because if you can say, hey, God's love is unconditional, well then, you're a bad person. God loves you. And what does it do? It diffuses things, doesn't it? It diffuses the issue. And we in our current society have a very popular statement, a very popular concept, and that is politically correct. That politically correct means, oh, you can't say that. Oh, but you can say this over here as long as you don't make it sound bad. That's exactly what this is. It's politically correct. You want to say, God loves you. It's unconditional. That's what this concept is all about. But it's so erring. It's so deceiving. It's Satan's way of saying, you don't really have to obey God. That's really what it means. But God's love is many things. Let's look at some of the things that God's love is. First off, There's a section of the Bible that, now, if you've read the Old Testament, you'll know there's parts where it repeats over and over, and it's a good scripture to read right before you're going to bed. Because you're over and over. But the Old Testament will do that because it's trying to have an emphasis on it. One such scripture is Psalms. Psalms 136. Now, please don't go to sleep on me as I read this. Page 136. Oh, not page. Chapter 136. And it's 1 through 26. Bear with me. And see if you can get the theme on this particular reading. Thanks to the Lord's goodness to Israel. That's the title. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the heavens with skill, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to the rule by day, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote the Egyptians in the firstborn, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And brought Israel out from their midst, for His loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His loving kindness is everlasting. But He overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who smote great kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, the king of Amorites, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And Og, king of Bashan, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Even a heritage to Israel, His servant, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who remembered us in His low estate, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And has rescued us from our adversaries, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His loving kindness is everlasting. So if you didn't get the gist of that, and of course, this is a song, isn't it? So that's the lyric. The chorus. And the theme here is that God's love never ends, but it doesn't say unconditional. And that's where some people get this concept, I think, is that it's never ending. Well, but then it also must be unconditional. So, if you read some of the religious stuff, oh boy, you'll find it on the TV all over. Oh, God loves you. Well, that He does. But He also expects some things from you. And that is, He expects your love too. Without your love, you're like a brass, just nothing. Surely Psalm chapter 23, verse 6. We read this morning. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's quite a few scriptures. They're very short ones, not like the first one I just read. Another, it's His love extended to demonstrate that when Christ died for us, we were still sinners. Can you imagine giving your child to be tortured and killed and ridiculed for somebody who hates you? That's hard for me to fathom. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's pretty powerful to me. We also know by the demonstration of God's love for us that in 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that He laid down His own life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I sadly watched a video where somebody came in to hurt the congregation. And one man gave his life to stave off the bad man from the rest of the congregation. And he gave his life. That was the last 2 years ago. I was that was just to me amazing. So my apology. Are you willing to give your life for your brother? Do you have that love for your one another? Have you ever been to a congregation where there's a split down the middle? Do you think God appreciates that? Where you sit on that side, I sit on this side, I don't love you, you don't think the same as I. Have you ever been there? I have. It's horrible. God's love is not unconditional. We better be united, brethren. We better be united under Christ and make sure we're doing what He would have us to do. And God's love is just that. It's what we are doing for God and Christ, not what we want. Ezekiel chapter 18. How do we know that God's love is not just totally unconditional? Because we know that He wants us to have repentance. Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather than that they should turn from His way and live? He knows what will happen to those who die outside of salvation. Also in Ezekiel 18, verse 32, drop down a little further down, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Stay in the same book, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. 33:11. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? He wants us to repent. He wants us to be saved. That concept is throughout the whole Bible, not just the New Testament, Old Testament as well. The reason the whole world continues to give people a chance to repent, that's one of the main reasons why He's having that long suffering for us. 2 Peter 2. Oh boy, that my mouth is really not doing well. 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but it is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Notice the implication. What happens when a person does not repent? There's an implication there that he is not saved or she is not saved. God desires all men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? God wants us to have knowledge and to be saved. God's kindness leads men to repentance. Another one, Romans 2. Romans 2, verses 4 through 8. 4 through 8. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Now stop right there. That's not the same as somebody saying, oh, that's okay. He'll have peace when he's done. It's not the same. It's not the same of having tolerance for evil. Oh, that's just another alternative way of life. Oh, it's normal these days for them to have same-sex marriages. Is that what God would have us to do? We were just talking in the back a little while ago about the tolerance of God for this nation. And surprise, surprise, I was talking to a brother who was not surprised by 9/11. I was. Because he was seeing the evil already. Well, I tell you what. God's tolerance is to give us time to repent. And it's God's patience and tolerance that gives us time to repent. But because of, verse 5. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Brethren, be careful what we do in this life. God's love is not unconditional. God was patient in the days of Noah. Can you imagine being preaching 125 years and nobody responding? That's pretty rough. Noah, in his day, and only have 8 souls. Well, at least there was a family. That's at least one thing from Noah that way. But 1 Peter 3:20. Who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Now, as you read the scriptures, baptism is like that, isn't it? Baptism is our water. And if you would, salvation is our ark. We're coming through the water through baptism. That's the likeness. Did God not love the world? Of course He did. Do you love your children when you discipline them? Discipline them? Yes, you do. You discipline them because you love them. God's love is long-suffering, but it's not unconditional. God's love is showing His willingness to wait. But we should not mistake that patience is acceptance of those who we are. God gave a church time to repent, and when it did not, cast it out. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. And through John, Jesus says, Revelation 2, verse 20, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her in a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to his deeds." God knows us inside and out. God loves and longs to be gracious. Gracious meaning giving us grace, giving us time. He's long-suffering. Isaiah 30, verse 18. Isaiah 30, verse 18. "Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him." That's what we were talking about this morning. Do you long for Christ to return? Do you long to see God? God is justice, and He's not allowing evil into His kingdom. And if you're not repentant, and you tend not to want to obey, yep, you won't be there. Yet the rejection of God does not nullify the great love for us. You might reject Him. Somebody else might reject Him. But God still loves all of us. I feel bad for parents whose children have gone astray. I do. That's a hurt that just doesn't end. And when you know that the person or the persons that you dearly love and would give yourself for in a heartbeat. Boy, do I remember when my children were sick. I thought, I actually prayed, please let me have that suffering. Don't let my children have this suffering. And yet they still had to go through it. Can you imagine the pain that God had to allow His Son to be killed for us? That's love. And even when you have lost that son or daughter, you don't stop loving them. You don't. You just wish that they would repent. And you wish that they would make it, because they're the only ones that can do it. Romans 3:3-6. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the fullness of God. Will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath is not unrighteous. Is He? I am speaking in human terms. May it never be. For otherwise, how will God judge the world? Again, from this morning, how fair is it to allow one child who does everything right to get in as well as the child who chooses not to do any of it right and doesn't want to choose the right? Why and how could that be fair? Oh, but I tell you what, God's love is unconditional. Sorry, there's what's that game show? You push the button and it's a big X. That's exactly right. Wrong answer. God's love is not unconditional. As we see here, He demonstrates His righteousness through His righteous judgment and His wrath. Oh, that's not politically correct. Day of judgment, are we going to be politically correct? Are we going to be scripturally correct? We've passed laws in this country saying it's wrong to be in a congregation to speak against homosexuality. It's wrong. That's what some of the laws have been. But in the day of judgment, man can take your physical body. They can take your physical things. They can hurt you physically. They can kill you physically. But who can kill you spiritually? God. God's wrath? You don't want that. I'll take human's wrath any day. It'll be painful. But it only has a certain amount of life to it. And then your body gives up. And you can pass on and make that change. Just like Job was saying this morning. Even though God demonstrates a love beyond full comprehension towards man, He still demands that man believes and turns to Him. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. God also loved the world, but man will be judged because of their love of evil. Have you considered that some people just love evil? They love. They like to see what horribleness is. They interview serial killers and I just wanted to see them die. I want to see them suffer. Really? Boy, tell that to God on the day of judgment. your love of evil, you'll be loving the devil right along with him. You'll be right with him. John 3:16, I know, everybody knows that scripture. And by the way, there are some versions of the Bible that I challenge you to really truly consider. Because in this particular scripture, some versions say the word shall. Shall means it will happen regardless. It means, shall means there's no choice. It will happen. Okay? But when you're going back to the Latin, to the Greek, it should. Now what's the difference? Should means it has a possibility. It's what ought to happen. But it doesn't mean it will happen. So let me share that with you real quickly here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall? I challenge you to look it up. Should. Now, some reason why is because they want to have the Calvinistic viewpoint that everybody's going to get to heaven. But it's should. Should not perish, but have everlasting. Why is it should be? Well, if you're obeying God and you love God, you will not be punished. You should have everlasting life. It's your choice. Keep on reading. Verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. When you're dealing with people all around you, brethren, you have to understand, you're trying to save them out of the darkness. What do they know most of? They know most darkness. And it takes sometimes a lot of effort to help people see what could be and not what is. There's plenty of people in this world who are born into a horrible situation. They didn't choose to be born with that family or that situation, but yet, oh, and I've heard some people, oh, but they, you know, like, they didn't have a gift, they were given a choice. Okay. But at what point does a human start thinking for themselves? Oh, they killed everybody because their childhood. Oh, well. Really? They all have a choice. We all have a choice. When bad chooses to be in front of you, Satan is choosing to tempt you and sorely tempt us at times, you still have a choice. My last scripture, and I know you're thinking, oh good, make up for the time that we had this morning. Romans 2, verses 4 through 6, Paul writes, or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, and not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Brethren, God's love is not unconditional. God's love is vast. God's love is great. God's love is everlasting. Don't fall asleep in that scripture when you're reading it. But it is not unconditional. So when somebody's saying, oh, God's love is, it's unconditional, please again, stand up. Be known. Say, prove it. All the scripture, prove it. Prove it. You make a statement, prove it. Well, everybody knows, prove it. Well, my preacher, no, get back to the scripture. Prove it. So when you're dealing with people from day to day, they should know you're a Christian. The nice thing about my chiropractic practice,
it's me.
And I'm not going to get fired. And I've lost some patients. If they've been in my patient very long, they hear it. And I kid you not, I've had people say, I'm not coming back to you. I said, that's all right. Day of judgment, you won't be able to say, you didn't say it. You didn't warn me. Each one of you come into contact with other people. You're not isolated. We're not in COVID anymore. Well, modified, how's that? But you do have contact with other people. How much love do you have for them? Do you have as much love for them as God does for you? If you don't, you won't say anything. If you do, you will say something. The other day I was sitting at a red light watching all the cars turn left. And there's enough time for that person to drive by. I get to see their faces. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a soul. Oh, that's another one. Oh, there's another one. Now, where's your mind? Is your mind thinking about how I can save that person? Sure. But if you're thinking to yourself, oh, she's pretty. Oh, he's ugly. What's he doing out like that? Where's your mind? Is it physical? Or is it spiritual? You need to start looking at people. I need to start looking at people more as spirits who are lost, who need me to help them. I need to show God's love through me. Brethren, thank you very much for your tolerance and your patience. Seeing as how we don't have anybody else different from this morning's, let you have the plan of salvation that I gave you this morning. Brethren, have love for each other under what Christ would have us to do. Unity is not unity unless it's unity under Christ. And unity, which is God-given unity. Not what I want, not based on what humans want, but we are united under Christ's law, not what we want. So, I give the lesson to you. If you have anything that you need to have repentance for, or any need for prayers, please come forward now as we stand and sing.